The epistle to be read today for the ascension of our Lord is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day of which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles, whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many proofs for 40 days appearing to them, and speaking of the kingdom of God. In eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asking him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea, and in Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them that had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they, going forth, preached everywhere, the Lord worketh withal, and confirming the word with signs that followed. Thus for the words of today's Holy Gospel. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Francis of Assisi always tried to follow our Lord's example in the smallest details. Whenever he had a decision to make, he would say, What would Christ do? And this was his rule of life for himself and for his followers. And so after a group of people began to follow him, he sent them out two by two, just as our Lord did in the Gospel. The Gospel says, after our Lord had assembled the 12 disciples, he sent them forth two by two into the world to preach. And so following our Lord's example, St. Francis took with him Brother Maceo, and headed to France to preach. On arriving in a certain town and being very hungry, they went, as their rule commanded, to beg for their food. St. Francis took one street, and Brother Maceo the other street. Now, it is interesting how the early eyewitness account mentions that St. Francis was not that attractive. It states, Francis, being a little man, with a mean exterior, did not attract much attention, and gathered only a few bits of dry bread. Whereas Brother Maceo, it says, was very tall and good-looking, and so he received many large pieces of bread. In fact, Brother Maceo received whole loaves of bread. When they had finished begging, they met outside the city near a beautiful fountain. They sat down by a large stone, on which each of them placed what they had collected. St. Francis, seeing that the pieces of bread which Brother Maceo had collected were much larger and better than those he had received, he rejoiced greatly. St. Francis said, "O Brother Maceo, we are not worthy of this great treasure." And he repeated these words several times, "O Brother Maceo, we are not worthy of this great treasure." A little perplexed by this, Brother Maceo answered, "Father, how can you talk of treasure where there is so much poverty, and indeed a lack of all things? For we neither have knife, nor dish, nor table, nor a house to eat in." St. Francis answered, This is indeed the reason why I account it a great treasure, because man had no hand in it, but all has been given to us by divine providence, as we clearly see in this bread given to us in charity, in this beautiful table of stone, and in this so clear a fountain of water. St. Francis said, "Let us beg God to make us love with all our hearts the treasure of holy poverty." They then enjoyed their humble meal of bread that they had begged, and the water from the fountain. After this, St. Francis said to Brother Maceo, "Let us go to St. Peter and St. Paul, and let us ask them together that they may teach us and help us to possess an unbounded treasure of holy poverty." "For poverty is a treasure so great and so divine," St. Francis said, "that we are not worthy to possess it in these vile bodies of ours. It is a celestial virtue, which teaches us to despise all earthly and transitory things. Through it, every hindrance is removed from the soul, so that we can freely speak with God. Through this virtue, the soul, while still on earth, is able to converse with the angels in heaven. It is this virtue of holy poverty, which remained with Christ upon the cross, was buried with Christ, rose again with Christ, and with Christ went up into heaven. It is this virtue which even in this world enables souls to fly up to heaven. It is also the guardian of true charity and true humility." Now, we read in today's gospel that our Lord gave the apostles their mission to preach the gospel throughout the world. First, our Lord upbraided the apostles for the lack of faith. For the apostles did not believe the woman who told them that they had seen the Lord risen from the dead. Then he told them to preach and baptize throughout the world. And after our Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father. Now, my dear faithful, both the gospel and epistle for today relate how our Lord ascended into heaven. After the resurrection, our Lord remained on earth for 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven to be with God the Father. Now, you can imagine that the apostles and disciples of our Lord wanted him to remain on earth with them. But Jesus told the apostles it was necessary for him to go to heaven. He said he must go to the Father in order that he could send the Holy Ghost to them. For you see, the Holy Ghost must come to teach us and enlighten us, that we may understand all that Jesus taught while he was on earth. It was not until Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles, that they finally understood all that our Lord had taught them. And our Lord also wanted us to know and remember that we are not made for this earth. We are made for heaven, and are just passing through this valley of tears. And so he could not remain here on earth. Otherwise, we might err like the early followers of Christ and aspire to an earthly kingdom. And this is what today's epistle talks about, how the disciples asked our Lord if he would then establish the kingdom of Israel. They still, even then, did not understand that his kingdom was not of this world. And so we too might be tempted to forget about heaven and look no further than this mortal life if our Lord remained here on earth. And so it was necessary for Christ to ascend into heaven to always remind us that there is our home, that is our goal, to reach heaven in order to be with our risen Savior. As St. John the Apostle says in his first epistle, "Love not the world, nor the things which are in the world. And the world passeth away, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever." I mean, dear faithful, the story of St. Francis shows us how wonderful the virtue of poverty is. This holy virtue reminds us that we are not made for this world or the things in it. It teaches us, as St. Francis says, to despise the earthly and passing things of this world. We are just travelers on the road going to our eternal home in heaven. The things of this world are here just to help us to get there. We are to use what we have here on earth to help us reach our end, which is heaven, and to be with our risen Savior. And so all that we have must help us to this end. And if they don't, and if they rather get in our way, we must avoid them. Nor must we be attached to the things of this world. As St. Francis said, poverty is a treasure so great and so divine, which teaches us to despise all earthly and transitory things. And through it, every hindrance is removed from the soul, so it can freely speak with God. Now, poverty is a virtue that we can all practice. Of course, we cannot practice it the same poverty as the Franciscans live, but we can have the same spirit of poverty that they live. The world today is so materialistic. People always want to have new things, the latest new fashions, and the newest phone available. And everything must be updated. The modern world tells us that young people today, unless you have the new car, a fancy home, the newest styles and gadgets, they will not be happy. And how often we get caught up in these traps of the world. We often forget the true spirit of poverty. We act like Brother Maceo in the story. Usually we think about all the things we don't have. When he sat down to eat with St. Francis, he was surprised about how cheerful and joyous St. Francis was. He immediately pointed out the things they were missing, that they didn't have a table or utensils even to use. And how often we do this. We think of everything we don't have, always wishing for something else. But rather we should be like St. Francis and be grateful for everything we have. As soon as you notice yourself thinking of things that you are missing, think about all that you actually have and thank God for them. Like St. Francis pointed out to Brother Maceo, rejoice and be happy. Just look at everything that God and divine providence has provided for you. And this is the spirit of poverty that we can practice, no matter what we possess. That is, be grateful for what you do have. And if something is taken away from you, do not look at what you have just lost. Rather, again, look at what you still have and thank God for it. This is the virtue of poverty that will release us from the chains of material things. It is the poverty that our Lord taught us while he lived here on earth. And it is the poverty that St. Francis so cherished and taught others to practice. St. Francis and his followers were happy and content with whatever God provided for them. In the story, St. Francis rejoiced in having the meager pieces of bread, the stone for a table, and the fountain for his water. He taught Brother Maceo not to look at what they didn't have, but rather to look at all they did have, and to be happy and grateful for those things. Let us then, my dear faithful, follow the example set for us and keep the spirit of poverty. Rather than always thinking of things you don't have or those things you wish you could have, be grateful for all that you actually have. Follow St. Francis and thank God and divine providence for always providing for you. And so to help you practice the spirit of poverty, get in the habit of thinking of the things to thank God for. Every morning and evening, think of at least one thing you are grateful for and thank God for it. Each morning and night when you say your prayers, thank Him for something. Whether it is something in general, like giving you your faith, providing the sacraments and the Mass for you, or any of the many material things He has given you, your family, your home, and your daily food. Or it can be something specific that happened to you that very day or evening. And so never let a day go by without thanking God for something. And be grateful for all you do have, and don't fall into the trap of wishing for those things you don't have, that in reality are mere passing things, and that will soon be no more. Remind yourself that this life is short compared to eternity, and all the things in this world will soon pass away. For your one true desire should be to join your Lord in heaven. And so joyfully look forward to that day when you will be reunited to your risen Savior. Our Lord ascended into heaven so we would never forget that there is our true home. To remind us to look to heaven and not to lose it for the passing things of the earth. And so as the Church most beautifully states today in the hymn she sings to our Savior now in heaven, Thou guide to heaven, be Thou the goal where our hearts tend. Be Thou our joy mid tears we pray. Be Thou our life's sweet prize and end. Amen. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.